As this morning we're talking about the Bible. It's our theme for this month being deeper. So this morning we're going deeper into the Word. So talking about reading the Word, reading the Bible, Scripture, whatever name you want to whatever label you want to put on it. And this morning I'll probably use all those terms, reading the Bible, the Word, Scripture, but it all means the same thing. It's all about, this big book, which the Bible made up of all these little books. And as we look at reading the Bible, and it's very important, and I'm actually very encouraged that I actually get the chance to share about this. But it's not a matter, because this morning we're focusing on reading the Bible, and it's not a matter about a competition between either reading the Bible or praying. And sometimes we hear about people being, a person of the Word or a person of the Spirit. But really, it's not an either or, but they're both. And prayer is essential, actually, to being able to understand the Bible, which I'll bring out a bit later on. And so what we want to do this morning is not look at reading the Bible as an isolated thing in its own, but the importance of reading the Bible as part of our growth, as part of our Christian walk, as part of being able to fully become the people that God has for us. So Lord, I just want to thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity we've had to come and praise you, that through the time of communion we've been reminded, Lord, of just how much you've done for us. And Lord, I pray this morning as we take time to actually look at your Word, the Bible, and just to bring out some thoughts about that, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would even encourage us to read it. Lord, I pray that even through this morning and through just hearing this message, that you would even plant a love for your Word that would bear fruit. Lord, we just pray for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm really encouraged about this. It's on one screen but not the other, okay? Yeah, so I'll have to look behind me for the things I wanted to bring up. But for me, as I said, it's not a reading the Bible or prayer. But just thinking about this, and I was thinking about how the important times in my life where the Bible became important to me and how essential it was in my own journey, in my own Christian growth. I think about how, as an 18-year-old at Belgrave Heights, which used to be sort of almost out of Melbourne, it's probably virtually in Melbourne these days, giving my life to Jesus and coming home from that, and, what do I do now? But I remember having this urge that wasn't sure where it came from, actually, to start reading the Bible that I didn't have there before. And I had a book which had been given, which was a helper, helped get me started. And so I found that essential from moving on from this thing that had happened, this event where something had happened because I had given my life to Jesus and I knew that something had happened, but the growth that came from that came from when I began to read the Bible and I found that I begin to understand it. And then a few months later, then coming into a Pentecostal church, and not just any Pentecostal church, coming into the CRC, and then later on the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and hearing people talk about the Bible, and having me being able to understand it in ways that I hadn't been able to before, and just what that did for my faith and what that did for my growth, the ability to be able to read the Bible and to understand what God was saying through it. And these things were key. These things were essential. Now, I grew up going to a church, and we went to Sunday school. We shared Bible stories at home. We had Scripture at school. And I'm grateful for all that because they taught me a basis of the Bible, a basis of the Bible stories, so that later on, when I had developed my own relationship with Jesus, I had that base to build on. They never told me about having a relationship with Jesus, about being born again or anything. But they did give me a foundation for the Bible, which I'm grateful for. But these things were key times, and I actually remember the first time that I had a particular revelation of a passage of Scripture. And I don't even know why I was thinking about this. I hadn't read it recently, but I remember I was cutting burrs, something really spiritual. And I was, for some reason, I was just thinking about this passage of Scripture, something that Jesus had said, and suddenly I had an understanding of what it meant. And just the excitement within me, you can't really tell anybody when you're just cutting burrs by yourself, but just dying to tell somebody that you had an understanding, but what it does for the faith, what it does is encouragement. And so these things, the key phases in my life, and really key phases in my growth, were about beginning to read the Bible, to understand the Bible, and having it become real into my life. And so that's part of the reason why I'm passionate about telling people about reading the Bible. And that's hopefully that this morning we'll be able to communicate some of that to you. Now, when Jeremy texted me a couple of weeks ago and said, could I, you know, share the message about the Word with our theme of, you know, deeper? And I thought, yeah, I could do that. Trying to sound cool, whereas I was quite excited. And I thought, yeah, I could do that. We could cover that in one message, you know, just so we could cover this and cover this bit and cover that bit. And I say, yeah, and I'll talk about that and I'll talk about that. And I thought, I think I'll text Jeremy back and ask if I'd have a month. But I didn't do that. But so I'll try and get through this in one message that hopefully doesn't take a month's worth of messages. But do what I would do, basically cover this morning, is why we should read the Bible, what the Bible does, and also some practical helps for those of us who perhaps struggle. You know, maybe we know we should, but we struggle to make it real in our lives. And so our starting point then, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So all Scripture, all of the Bible, originates from God. Now, I don't have time this morning to talk about how we got this Bible and in the 66 books that are in it. But what we can be assured of is that everything that is in this Bible, what we call the Bible, originates from God. Some translations use the term God breathed. In other words, it didn't come from man. It's not man's idea. It's not somebody come up with these great ideas and put them down and ask God to bless them even. But the inspiration, the originality of it comes from God. And so we can be confident, we can be sure that when we read this, it's what God wants us to know, and it's what he wants us to know now. It's what he wants us to know for our life. And I even think of that term, God breathed, and I think of the other time very early on in the Bible where we talk about God breathing. So that God created a man and God breathed the breath of life into him. So the idea of the Bible being God breathed, it's not only about the origin of the Bible from God, about it coming from God, but there's that sense that it's got the life of God about it as well. And so that needs to be our starting point, that this confidence knowing that this is God's words. And the challenge then for us is to find out what he's saying to us. The Bible is God's revelation to us of himself, what he wants us to know for salvation and holy living. And so we see then that reading the Bible, that knowing the Bible, understanding the Bible is essential for knowing and obeying God's will. It's because the Bible teaches us about God and his ways. The Bible trains and disciplines us. It trains us and disciplines us in right thinking, in knowing what are right actions, and even in following them through. And it includes pulling us away from wrong actions and wrong thinking. So really we could say that it shows us what is right, shows us what we need to add to our lives, and it shows us what we need to get rid of out of our lives. if we could sum up verse 16 there. Reading, knowing, understanding the Bible is essential in renewing the mind. You know, we come to Jesus with an old mindset, the mindset of the flesh of the world. It needs to be renewed if we are to grow in God, to experience God. And the Bible is essential in that. We need to read the Bible. The purpose of reading the Bible, the purpose of the Bible doing these things in our lives is that we might be mature, that we might be equipped to live a life for God. So in other words, we might grow to maturity, but we won't be mature enough to live a life of faith and obedience. And I've chosen, you know, 2 Timothy, these two verses in 2 Timothy, they summarize it so well. But we see that throughout the Bible, it talks about itself that way. It talks about Scripture. It talks about the Word of God doing these things. It talks about how the Bible is the Word of God. It constantly confirms itself right throughout the Bible, right throughout Scripture. And so we need to read the Bible because it reveals God. And actually, if we read the words of Jesus, we want to be pedantic about it. The Bible reveals Jesus. In John 5, verse 39, he said to the Pharisees, he said, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me." So the whole Bible is actually talking about Jesus. The whole Bible is about Jesus. It's helping us to understand Jesus. It reveals him. The Old Testament is talking about why Jesus needs to come and what he's going to do. And it's looking forward to Jesus coming and about our need for him. And then the New Testament, it starts with, you know, the works of Jesus, what he did while he was here. But then the rest of the New Testament is explaining for us what Jesus did and how that applies to our lives. It's all talking about Jesus. It all reveals Jesus. And we see that Jesus came to reveal God. Jesus came to reveal the Father. And this is the problem that so often people get into. They get a wrong idea of God and all sorts of ideas of God. But if we want to know what God is like, we look at Jesus, because he said, you know, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." And he said that more than once, that his purpose was to reveal God to us. So the Bible talks about Jesus. It reveals Jesus. And when we understand Jesus, we understand what God is like. We understand not just Jesus, but the whole Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so if we really want to know God, if we really want to know what God is like, we really want to know who he is, we can't do that without the Bible being a large part of our life. So then just a few things, and there's a lot of things we could look at, but just some that I chose this morning. You know, because the Bible shows God, and it's not that the Bible shows God and it does this, but because the Bible shows God, it does these things, because it reveals God. The first thing is the Bible shows us the way. So in Psalm 109, verse 105, and it says, you know, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." See, walking in the light is walking in God. So when we read God's word, he's actually showing us the way. He's showing us the way so that we don't stumble, we don't fall over. But he's showing us the way that we want to go. And we talk about stumbling. Well, I don't want to stumble. I don't want to fall over. That sounds painful. But he's showing us the way that he wants to go so that we don't trip over ourselves and we don't miss out on the best that God has for us. God's word is a light. God's word is a lamp. If we want to know what God wants, read the Bible, because that shows us what he wants. The second thing we can see from the Bible, that the Bible builds faith. Romans 10 verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And there's a couple of different Greek words which are translated word in our English translation, in our English New Testament. And here we see the word that's used for word is rhema or revelation. So faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by getting a revelation of God, a revelation word of God. But the Rhema is not distinct from what's written down here in our Bibles. The revelation that comes, the revelation that brings faith, is when we get a revelation of something that is in the written word, that is, you know, in the 66 books of the Bible. And I say written word, I mean, these days it may be on pages, but it may be on your phone, it may be on your iPad, it may be something you got plugged into your ear listening to. But it's that same thing. It's the revelation. When we receive a revelation of something that God has shown us through that, that's what builds faith. Yeah, and we can think about, well, you know, I remember faith was built when, you know, when I heard the voice of God the first time, when God spoke to me in prayer, when I was praying and I had a sense of God's, a sense of God around me, or when I obeyed God and He moved through me. And they all build faith. But we see that it's essential that if our faith is to be built, you know, these things encourage our faith, they help our faith. But we can't really have faith unless we're reading the Bible, unless we're getting a revelation from that. It's so important. So we need faith, read the Bible, and look for an understanding. And I'll talk a bit about that as we go on. The Bible also prevents us falling into deception. And we see, you know, in Matthew 4 and in Luke 4, the temptation of Jesus. And it lists three things that the devil specifically tempts Jesus with. And they all sound good. And if we're not careful, they can even sound right. But he's tempting Jesus, who knows the scriptures, who knows the word of God, and who has a heart after God. He doesn't want to sin, but he knows deception when he hears it. And he counters with the word of God. And particularly there's one of the temptations we see where the devil actually comes and quotes two passages of scripture to Jesus. He says, throw yourself off this building because he's going to send angels to catch you. And that sounds good. And he's even quoting scripture. But Jesus knows that he's misquoting scripture. And he says, it's written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You know, Satan even quoted the scripture correctly, but it was in the wrong context. It sounded good, but it was wrong. And so often we can hear things in this world that sound good, and there might even be an element of scripture in them. But knowing the Bible, and knowing, say, the whole Bible, that's a pretty big ask, but the more we can know of the Bible, the less we will be deceived, because we'll know the context of the whole Bible, know the context of which is written. And it's a little bit similar to the temptation that came to Eve, where Satan comes to Eve and he tells her these nice lies that sound good. And he actually gets her to ask, what is it that God said? And part of the problem that we find with Eve is that she added. She said, God said, yeah, not to eat the fruit of this tree or even touch it. She added something to it. She was getting away from exactly what God had said and allowing herself then to be led astray by something that sounded good. And so often deception is only a subtle twisting of Scripture and a subtle twisting of the meaning of Scripture. But a heart of righteousness, of holiness, which Bible reading helps to create, and a knowledge of the Bible is essential to avoid deception. You know, so often the cults often start with just something that sounds right. And sometimes it's something even so small, just a small deviation from the whole truth of Scripture. And so we want to read the Bible, we want to find out what God wants. But then if we find out what God wants, then that helps us to avoid being deceived. And we need to apply this to really everything that comes into our life. Personal words, things that we believe we might hear in prayer. Other prophetic words that people might give to us. words even that we might give to other people, do they line up with Scripture? They must line up with Scripture to be authentic. You know, we recognize the false by studying the genuine. If you want to know a lie, if you want to know a lie from the devil, we will need to study and understand the genuine Word of God. Study it. Study the genuine to recognize the false. And we see also that the Bible then is essential for growth. And growing is what the kingdom is about. Jesus talked about the kingdom is like a seed. Plant it, it grows. Provided the right conditions are there. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, he writes, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby." And he's not calling us newborn babies. That you're just so immature. That's why you need to read the Bible. When you grow to a bit of maturity, you can throw that away. Now he's saying, in the same way that newborn babies desire that milk, you need to have that same love and that same desire for the word if you want to grow. Babies desire milk. Right through the mammal kingdom is that desire for milk, and it's the milk that helps them to grow, that causes them to grow. And if we want to grow and we want to grow to maturity, then we need to have that same desire. And I had to put this next passage in here somewhere because really it's a summary of our vision as of a church. In Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. I was thinking about, do I have time for this? I've got to find somewhere for this passage. Because it's so much of what we're about at the moment. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." See, the person successful in God's kingdom, there's some things he doesn't do. He doesn't hang around with these unbelieving, with these ungodly sort of people. He doesn't, as having close fellowship with them. But the thing he does is he loves the word. The word used, he delights in the word. So if we want to be strong in God, if we want to be blessed in God, whatever your idea of blessed might mean, but basically it means if you want to be strong, if you want to be walking with God, if you want to be in his ways, then you need to have a love for the word. You need to delight in his word. And then the word used there is meditate. He meditates on it. He not only reads, but then he ponders. What does this mean? What does it mean for me? How does it work in my life? And that's how we understand. It's not just the reading, but it's then the thinking about that, about what it means and what it means for us. And I know many of you have heard that the word there, meditate, means to ruminate, like a ruminant animal, chew the cud, just keep bringing it up and chewing it over and over. And that's the way we get an understanding. That's the way we get a revelation of it. That's the way it becomes strong in our lives. And a person who does that, a person who loves the word and who spends time thinking about it and thinking about what that means and how it applies to them, is a person who will be strong in God. A person who will not be swayed. A person who will make a difference. Going back to that in 2 Timothy where it says, you know, thoroughly equipped. Will be a person to make a difference. Also, you know, we see that sense there, that the tree beside the water. It's alive, it's growing. The principle of the kingdom is growth. The principle of the word is growth. It starts off small. We may only have a small thought and may only make a small difference, but the more we add to it, we grow. We grow in our understanding. We grow in its... in the difference it makes in our lives. And that's something we also need to keep in mind if we think, well, I don't know too much about the Bible. I may be small in my understanding. You know, I can't compare to other people. But it's that growing principle. Plant the seed, we water it, it grows. Plant more seeds, water them, they grow. The whole purpose of the manna that God gave to the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness was to teach them to rely on God. It actually says that you will learn the man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. They completely missed it, but that was the point of it. And that's something that we can take for ourselves. It's a teaching point for us. It's there to teach us. And so the Bible does these things in, and that's some of the reasons why it's important for us to read the Bible and make the Bible part of our lives. But we also see that Jesus is our example. Jesus is our example in the faith. He's the one who gives us life, but he's the example also in how to live the life. And so with Jesus as our example in so many other things, we see he's also the example in reading and applying the Bible. See, as a boy, as a 12-year-old boy, his first trip to Jerusalem to the temple there, they go home without him, or start going home. 3 days it takes to find him. The whole time he's there in the temple talking to the teachers of the law. He's amazing them with his knowledge and understanding of Scripture as a 12-year-old boy. And he's asking them more questions. He wants to know more about the law, more about the Scripture, more about the Word, more about it. You can see that even he's got this hunger to know about God through his Word. He's amazing them with his knowledge and amazing them with his questions and asking questions, wanting to know more. And then it comes to his temptation in the wilderness. And he gets through it by quoting Scripture. Every temptation that comes up against him, he quotes Scripture. He doesn't attempt to argue with Satan on any other basis, only on what the Scripture says. Every time, or nearly every time, we see that the Pharisees, you know, through his whole ministry, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they come to him and they try to trick him with questions. They accuse him of all sorts of things. And so often, he comes back to them with the Scripture. He either quotes the Scripture or he says, "What does this mean?" He's asking them about the Scripture. After his resurrection, he's trying to explain to his disciples, his followers, you know, about what's just happened over the last few days. He explains his death and resurrection by showing them from the Scriptures. He does it to the two on the road to Emmaus, but not just them. He says that when with the others gathered together, he shows them from the Scriptures. And we see that in all four Gospels, constantly, that the four writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, are taking the things that Jesus said and applying them to how they fit with the Old Testament Scriptures. Jesus is our example in so many things. Jesus is our example in reading the Word. You know, Jesus was sinless. He was pure. And yet he based his whole life upon the Word. And so those of us who are battling, you know, we know that in Christ our sins are dealt with. But we're battling with the reality of overcoming that. I mean, if Jesus lived his whole life on the Scriptures, then the same is necessary for us. But having said all that, you know, some will say, "But I don't understand the Bible." Exactly. That's right. You don't understand the Bible. I don't understand the Bible. In exactly the same way that I can't genuinely forgive people who have really hurt me. I can't genuinely love people as Jesus loved. I can't please God. I can't fully obey God. I can't actually bring anything that's going to make a significant life-changing difference in your life. I can't heal anybody. I certainly can't raise them from the dead. And the same thing is like in my own strength, all of these things I'm talking about. I need the Holy Spirit for these things. And the same thing is when we come to reading the Bible. We need the Holy Spirit. If we just sit down to try and read it like some book, we won't understand it. We'll miss it. And so this is part of the reason why prayer is so essential. It's not that we only pray so that we can read the Bible, but prayer is essential because we need to be saying, Lord, what does this mean? I need you to speak to me. I need you to reveal this to me. I can't do this in my own strength, just like I can't do any of the other things you've told me to do in your own strength. I need the Holy Spirit to bring understanding. The Bible is a spiritual book, and spiritual understanding is essential. It's needed. And so we need to do that. We need to approach the Bible, the reading of the Bible, knowing it is the Word of God, believing that wants to speak to us through it, and asking God to give us understanding of that. You know, now it may not be a flash of revelation at the time. Sometimes it will. But we will find if we approach the Bible reading with that view in mind, that there will be a gradual growth of understanding and comprehension. You know, of knowing God's will, knowing his ways, and our ability to apply them. And if we take these things, relying on God, you know, coming to the Bible, approaching it with that expectation and that understanding, that assurance, and then we can combine that with some practical things, like with an appropriate Bible version. You know, when I actually first started coming to the CRC, nearly everybody there had the same Bible, not only the same version, but the same Bible. You know, you could actually say what page number a scripture was on. And they would all be able to turn to it. It was the King James Version. They loved it. And it spoke to them. But I know that doesn't apply to everybody. So we need to find a version that's relevant to us, that we're able to read, that we're able to understand. There's a multitude of versions out there, and all of them, or most of them at least, have an appropriate, you know, they have a purpose. So we, you know, and there's, you know, you've sort of got up one end, you've got those who translate the Bible as close to literally into English as we can, and then there's up the other end, there's those who try and explain every word and every phrase in our modern language, and there's somewhere in between are most of the Bibles. But we need to find a Bible that we can understand, that we can relate to, find an appropriate version for our level of understanding, for our level of reading ability. And if we do that and couple that with the expectation that God will speak to us, then we place ourselves in a position where we're much more able for God to begin to speak to us. Another thing that's essential is a reading plan. Now, there's all sorts of different reading plans, but we need to have some sort of plan about reading the Bible. It's not just about picking out random verses. You know, there's a story told of the fellow who was in a bit of a desperate state, so thought, oh, well, I'll just, you know, open up my Bible somewhere and pick out a verse and God speak to me. Does that, grabs his Bible, flips it open, Matthew 27, verse 5. Then Judas went out and hanged himself. No, that must be a mistake. Something wrong. Try it again. Luke 10:37. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. So if we really want to understand, you know, the Bible can speak to us at times in moments of urgency. But if we really want to understand it, we need to have a plan about reading the Bible, reading the whole Bible. You know, there are many plans, reading through the Bible in a year, and there's all sorts of other ones. I remember that the same year we moved here, the church was promoting Wayne Cordero's soap and Wayne Cordero's Bible reading. Obviously, the first 6 months went well because there's no bookmarks for the first 6 months here. There's some up the back table for the last 6 months of the year. So I guess we stuck at it for half a year. But things like, you know, like Wayne Cordero, and there's other people who have Bible reading plans. They're useful tools. It's not that you have to do one. You know, for me, over my course, my journey, that I've attacked the Bible reading through different ways. You know, I've used Wayne Cadero's plan. I've used one that Tony Smith's had. I've used my own ideas. I've used things I've got from other people, ideas about reading the Bible through. But the importance is that we follow a plan. And whatever plan it is, you know, your own or somebody else's, as long as you're covering a good portion of the Bible. It doesn't matter, as long as you're covering a good portion of the Bible, though. I would love to stand here this morning and say, you need to read your Bible through in a year. But the trouble is, I've never done that. I've got close a couple of times. We've gone a year and a few days. But so I can't tell you to do that. But the importance, covering a good portion of the Bible, and don't go too long without reading something from the New Testament. You know, back to our first scripture, says all scripture is inspired by God, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Though it is good to read the New Testament a little more, but it's all inspired by God. And there's places, I know if you've read the Bible and you get reading through Leviticus, and you think, God, why did you put that in the Bible for? There's places like that that are difficult. There's the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles where it's just all these lists of names and that sort of thing. Actually, but hidden in those, there's these little gems. Because a few years ago, something that was very popular, was quite a trend, was the prayer of Jabez. You know where that was? That was in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, in the middle of all these lists of names. Just 2 verses. If we skipped over that, it would never have been found. Actually, there's another little gem there in the next chapter about the children of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh. That they went out to fight against their enemies, and it says that he, that's God, heard their prayer because they put their trust in him. I thought, wow, I mean, how's that for a word for the day? But it's right there in that middle of the list of names. And some of this stuff, and there's a whole lot of stuff that I don't understand. I don't understand a fair bit of Leviticus and get lost in places in the prophets and quite a bit of the book of Revelation and that. But it's all inspired by God. It's all important. It's all important. It's important that we cover and have a basic understanding of it. Okay, so just need to start wrapping this up. So we need to look for God to reveal it. It's not just reading. We don't just read to get, you know, so we can win a trivia contest. It's not just to get knowledge, but it's reading for God to speak to us. It's to hear from God and apply it. So that we become, you know, doers of the word, as James said. You know, we need to meditate. Journaling is useful, is one tool we can use. Writing down things that we feel the Bible's saying. The more we read and learn about the Bible, the more we will be able to understand it. And the more we'll be able to put it into practice. So time spent reading is good. I just think of it a bit like driving a car. I can teach you to drive. You say, well, okay, well, yep, I only need the things I need to drive. But if we read the manual, then we become the owner's manual. We know much more about the car, and we can actually become a better driver of the car. It's important we're hearing regularly words, God speaking to us about what we need to do. But the more we understand about the whole Bible, the more we will understand about what God wants us to do. There's many helps, daily devotionals, etc., Bible studies, commentaries. The thing we need to remember, though, is that Bible studies and commentaries are just that. They're commentaries about the Word of God. You can get our Bibles on our phone, all these sort of things. But the one thing, though, is great is to actually read the book. You know, read the phone, but it's great to read the Bible on your phone. But occasionally it's great to read the book and see how it all fits together. Teaching is important to understand, you know, that we allow ourselves to, or we put ourselves in positions where, you know, we hear good teaching on the Word. And I know for me that was essential in helping to understand the Bible. It's important in being able to understand that. You know, we've got so many resources these days. You know, with the internet, it's not just recordings now, but it's all on the internet. Although, You know, whilst there are so many good things on the internet, it's also where we need to apply a bit of bit of wisdom, bit of discernment. You know, it's a bit like people who turn up to the medical specialist and say, well, I've got this because I got it on Wikipedia. You know, there's so much good stuff, but that's where the local church becomes so important. You know, I've been so blessed with the CRC, the great teaching that I've been able to have over my time, which has helped me to understand the Bible. Bible study, connect groups, home groups, whatever you want to call them. Familiarize yourself with the Bible. It's a quote from Billy Graham. There's so many quotes you could get about reading the Bible. I just picked out this one. It seemed particularly relevant since only a couple of weeks ago that Billy Graham went to be with the Lord. It says, the very practice of reading the Bible will have a purifying effect upon your mind and heart. Let nothing take the place of this daily exercise. You know, again, so daily, it's good to aim for daily. I know that sometimes we get caught up. The importance is we don't get condemned, but we try to read it as much as possible. And, you know, we need to read the Word, finding what does God want me to do? What does God want me to do with this? But I believe that actually just the very reading of the Bible, as it says there, will have a purifying effect on our minds and hearts. One final scripture there is in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 14. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is called the Word of God. How can we really understand Jesus if we don't read the Word? It's the same Word. Jesus is the Word. The Bible is the Word. They both reveal to us God. You know, people say, well, I love Jesus. Okay, but you can really only get to know him if you're reading the Bible. But it's also important because the Bible reveals Jesus and that we read it through that sense. Jesus, full of grace, full of truth, full of love. You can read things in the Bible and come from a condemnation point of view. That's not what the Bible's about. Understand, read the Bible through what we know about Jesus. Grace, truth, love. So, this morning, as I was just thinking about how to wrap this up, you know, so often you preach a message, you want people to respond and come in for prayer. What I want you to do this morning is go and read the Bible. You know, I'd love for you to, anyone, if you want to know more, talk to me, talk to any of the leaders, talk to some of the people who have been around here and just see the Word is in that, you know, people like Carmen and Peter and, you know, that the Word's working in their life. Talk to them about their experience and how they read the Bible. You know, there's helps. Mel's offered to help anyone who needs to get the Bible app on their phone. You know, any of these sort of things. I'd love to talk with you about that. But really what I want you to do is go home and read the Bible. Read the Bible, persist in it. Know it is God's Word. Expect God to speak to you through it. You know, find your own way of reading, but make sure reading and persist in it. And then put into practice what you hear God saying. And just the final thought, the Dark Ages, that period of history is called the Dark Ages, started when Bible reading became closed to the average person. And actually, at one stage there, you would be burnt for reading the Bible in your own home. So it started when the Bible became unavailable. The Dark Ages ended when the Bible became available to the common man. Lord, I just want to thank you that you reveal yourself to us, Lord, that you want us to know you. Lord, that there's so much that you've already put there before us, Lord, that we can know. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will give us a heart for your Word, a heart for you, but a heart to know you through your Word. Lord, I pray that where there are those of us here this morning who struggle with understanding what your Word says, Lord, that you would cause us to persist, that you give us a love for that anyway, and that we would begin to find understanding, we begin to find comprehension, we begin to find revelation. And Lord, for all of us, I pray, Lord, that we would not get slack in reading, but Lord, that we would just delight. The more that we read, the more we would want to, because we want to know more of you. We want to hear you speak to us through your word. And Lord, we want to apply that. Lord, thank you. What you ask us to do, you give us the strength. I pray that we would have the willingness to read and to obey. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.